Well, a very good evening to you. I know you're out there. Good evening. Good. It's great to be together. You're very welcome, especially if you're visiting with us this evening for our carol service. Great to have you with us. Good that you're here. We do trust that God will meet with us and he will change us through his words and his songs. And this will be a time that will do us good right in front of Christmas. Massive thanks to all the preparations of Helen and Ivan and the choir. We look forward to hearing them and to singing with them as we celebrate the Christmas songs and the Christmas time. We are meeting for a brief service here on Christmas Day, 10:30 a.m. That's next Saturday. We'll sing again. We're going to talk about our presents. We'll have our Christmas jumper competition. We're still working out whether the best or worst jumper wins, but I'll leave that up to you. So do join us for that if you can on Christmas Day, a lovely way to begin the day together with a church family. And we'll be here on Boxing Day as well. That's a regular Sunday, 11 a.m. We're going to keep our service a wee bit shorter on Boxing Day to allow family time and things as well, but you'd be very, very welcome. I'm delighted to welcome back to Ballygilbert the very Reverend Dr. Roy Patton, a good friend and helper of mine, and he's going to help me this evening with our lessons and our readings. Roy, it's always good to see you, and Daphne as well. Where are you, Daphne? Always nice to have you back with us, and thanks for coming. Tonight we're going to start with these words to just still our hearts before we begin our praises to God. The psalmist says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Let me pray for us just before we start. Father God, it's always at this time of year that we are forced to wonder at the miracle of Christmas. It's more than immaculate conceptions, angelic visits, young mothers and long journeys, or even visits from Eastern mystics. It is the miracle of your love for us. So as we sing and read together this evening, surrounded by the lights of Christmas and the warmth of our fellowship, we pray that we would hear you clearly, draw closer in faith, and wonder that we can be loved so much. We know of that love because we know of the Lord Jesus. We dedicate our time to him as we pray in his great name. Amen. Our service will run unannounced this evening, and in doing that, we do something that speaks of faith. We will hear the words of God himself as we find them in the Bible, and we will sing our responses because his word is enough and his son is enough. Small note on that, there is an insert in the very back of your order of service. Those are the lyrics we're going to use for O Come All Ye Faithful. So the ones that are inserted are the ones we're using. You can ignore the ones that are printed in the booklet. Roy may well remind you of that later. Okay.
Ding dong, ding a dong, ding a dong, ding. A good Christian fool at listen, how
In Isaiah 7, Isaiah tells of the virgin birth. This is God's word. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David, it is not enough to try the patience of humans. Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid to waste."
Thank you. Isaiah chapter 9, Christ's reign foretold. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
The prophet Micah tells us that Bethlehem will be the place. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace when the Assyrians invade our land and march through our fortresses.
Luke tells the account of Gabriel greeting Mary. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God."
This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he'd considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Luke tells of the birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
Luke tells us of the shepherds. He writes this: there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger.
Matthew tells the story of the Magi. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son."
Well, John's Christmas is very different to the others. He writes this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Before our closing prayer, I want to say thank you to Craig for inviting me to share in the readings this evening. That has been a real pleasure, and it's a real joy for Daphne and myself to be here with you this evening. The choral service has always been very special in Ballygilbert, and always very special for us. So my thanks again to Helen and to the choir for leading us this evening, and also a delight in seeing so many familiar faces, even if I can only see part of your faces. But it is good in these rather strange times, it is good that we are able to meet together to celebrate the birth of our Saviour and to fellowship together in his name. So I want to take the opportunity, Craig, on behalf of Daphne and myself, to wish you and the family and everyone associated with Ballygilbert a very, very happy Christmas. Let us pray together. Our gracious God, we thank you for this time of year. And we thank you for coming among us in Jesus. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we marvel at such humility, that he emptied himself of all but love. We recognize our privilege and pray this evening for those who have no home and no place. Emmanuel, God be with us and be with them. God of the familiar, we thank you for the familiar scriptures, these Bible readings at Christmas time. Speak to them, we pray. Speak to them, to us, of hope renewed, of steadfast love, of grace extended to us in Jesus, of faith that flows full and free within and beyond the familiar carols and services. May your Spirit call out goodness from all who feel tired and estranged from the familiar today. God of goodwill, we pray that these difficult times may call out goodwill from all who are made in your image. Bless, we pray, for all who reach out with the good news, with practical help, with simple friendship. Where we become caught up in ourselves, break in with your message that it is in giving out to all that we receive. Thank you for love and hope made known to us in our Savior, Christ Jesus. Loving Father, we thank you that in his birth the Lord Jesus brought hope to those whose hope had almost gone. We pray for those who are finding life particularly hard. In these still difficult days of COVID, we pray for those who are struggling with ill health, with loneliness, anxiety, or depression. We remember, too, those who are overwhelmed with trials in relationships or family, or those who are missing loved ones. May they know the Prince of Peace, the wisdom of the Wonderful Counselor, the strength of the mighty God, the presence of Emmanuel, the God who draws near. And so, Lord, help us to go into the world in peace, to be of good courage, to hold fast to that which is good, to strengthen the faint-hearted, to support the weak, to honor everyone, and to love and to serve the Lord. Be within us and among us, and remain with us always, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And we bring all together in praise and worship as we sing, O come all ye faithful, but the insert that we have with us this evening. Joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the perseverance of the wise men, the obedience of Joseph and Mary, and the peace of the Christ child be yours this Christmas and the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest on us and all those whom we love and pray for this Christmas time and always. Amen.
Folks, do take a seat just for a moment. Can I thank you for coming this evening? We hope that that has injected a bit of Christmas normality into your life. We didn't have this last year, and I think this evening we've realized afresh how much we missed it. So why don't we thank a few people together? We'll start with the guys upstairs on sound and video. Nothing happens without them, so we want to thank them. Thanks to Ivan, you play beautifully. We expect nothing less. And Helen, who does more than flap her arms around, it's all the practicing and arranging, and we're glad for you, Helen. And of course, the choir are the victims of Helen and Ivan at this time of year, and we really appreciate it tonight. Fine voice all evening. They've led us well. And of course, to Roy, I printed out all the readings and realized that's a lot of reading. And Roy said he was coming, and I thought, I'll give him a job. So really appreciate you being here, Roy. That's been really special and lovely. Folks, do stay safe and try to have a Merry Christmas. We're back on Christmas morning, 10:30, Boxing Day, 11 a.m. You'd be most welcome. We're keeping those shorter. That's the deal we're going to make with you. But until then, do please take care getting out to your cars and onto that road. And Merry Christmas.